your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That's where I'm going to get started. I was edified this morning by the preaching. It was wonderful to hear God's word proclaimed in a way that would bring us comfort and cheer. And I remember Brother Boggs telling us about how that God's presence is with us, even in whether it's chastisement or tribulation. His presence being with us is what helps us to endure those hard times. And it's the goodness of God, after all, leads us to repentance and to come to Him. So those times He chastises us is for our benefit. And, you know, he pointed that out so clearly. We might be cast down, but we're not forsaken. And I think that's wonderful. And then Brother Rogers brought out very forcefully and wonderfully the fact that we get our comfort from the sovereign God, a God that is of all power. There is no lack of ability with our God to give us those things that we need. And, you know, properly understood, the doctrines of grace gives a believer more assurance and calmness than any other doctrine in the Bible. It's because that the Almighty Creator has selected us in particular and ordained that we would have eternal life and brought that to pass by compact between the three, that our salvation is ensured by the integrity of God. And so I was very thrilled when Brother Robson brought that out. I thought it was wonderful, and that gives me hope and assurance. And so I'd like to start reading here. I have my Bible open to the wrong place, of course, but I'm going to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's my assigned text. We'll read this, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. These wonderful verses tell us that God is the Father of all mercies. You know, and it's mercy is what withholds judgment that we deserve until God extends grace. And so I'm thankful to God that He is a merciful God. It's because of His mercies we're not consumed and destroyed. And so I'm thankful that He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He gives us comfort when no one else can. He gives us comfort that no one else can give. When we try to console our friends or acquaintances because of some grief in their life, it's almost vain, it's almost complete waste of time if we don't have within us the grace of God. We comfort them with the grace that God has provided for us, and the things that we have learned by having suffered the affliction that Brother Boggs brought out, and that has brought us to maturity, brought us to a place where we have a stronger walk with God, and therefore that makes us able to comfort our fellow man, our fellow believer. And we are comforted by God, it says here in verse 4, in all our tribulations. And it doesn't say that He would comfort us if we had tribulations. It says He comforteth us in our tribulations. And I'll look at that just a little bit more in a few minutes, but all the trials we have, there's nothing that this world can offer us to give us comfort, to console us, to give us assurance or hope, other than what we have in the Word of God. It's God's presence Himself that gives us that. And once we have that, it says here in verse 4, we're able to comfort others. Because we can give them what we've received of God. You know, if I give someone something from myself, they don't have much. But if I give them something from God, that's important. That's that's worthy, that's effective. So we need to do that at every opportunity. We need to endeavor to keep the unity of faith, but in a bond of peace. And that is required in order for us to console one another. But I notice this verse 3 here. If we read this verse 3 again, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. That verse begins with, blessed be God. And that's something that's very important, and I want to dwell on that just for a minute. We have to understand that if we want any gift from God, if we want any blessings from God, if we want any consolation, if we want any comfort from God, we first have to be on a right standing with Him. We have to be in a place where we can approach Him without any fear of retribution, because we have taken care of our problem, and that problem, of course, is sin. The Bible tells us that our iniquities have separated between us and God. So we have a sin problem. And that's true even of those of us who are believers. You know, the Bible says in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's present tense. That's written to believers. So there's still sin in this life, in this world, because we're still in these bodies of flesh. So we have to get that taken care of. I don't think it's proper for us to even attempt to thank God for His blessings and bounty to us if first we haven't confessed and forsaken our sin and gotten everything right with Him. You know, we have to be, we have to be in a right relationship with Him in order to expect His favor and His comfort. We can't say, oh Lord, comfort me and help me, and we have unconfessed, unforsaken sin in our life, and we have to take care of that part first. So we need to bless God. We need to understand, like it says here, blessed be the God of all mercies. So we have to bless Him. That is to say, we have to praise Him. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15 says, which in His times He shall show who is a blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. This is talking about Jesus, our Savior. It says there in verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bruce sang about that. And, you know, there's the people in the world think we're fools looking for a rapture. And sadly, a lot of people who profess to be saints of God feel the same way, but I'm sorry, I'm not deterred. I'm still looking for the Savior. I'm not a post-trib guy. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Christ. And I think He'll be here, and like the song says, any day, any time, but it says here, we're to keep His commandments until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed, and only potentate and King of kings. There's the sovereignty about which Mike was speaking. He will show Himself when it's His time, in His time. When it pleases the Father, He will manifest His Son to the world, and the angels will be dispatched, and the trumpet will sound, and the Lord will bring us to be with Him, and that'll be comfort like no comfort we've ever had before. But He will show in His days who is the King of kings and who's the Lord of lords. And it says there in Revelation, you know, we read in Revelation chapter 4, the people gathered around that throne, they're all saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and power and glory. He's worthy. And so He won't just become worthy when we get there. He's already worthy now, so we need to be praising Him and extolling Him and even now. And He is blessed, the blessed Lord. And it tells us in Psalm 103 that we should praise Him every fiber of our being. The psalmist was inspired to write Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. So we should praise God with the same fervor and dedication that we implore Him to give us blessings. So that would be with every fiber of our being. And then in Psalm 115, it says, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. So we can start blessing the Lord now. We don't have to wait till we're in heaven, gathered around the throne. Like Brother Boggs said, crowns will be cast at His feet. We don't have to wait till then to praise the Lord. We can praise Him now. We want consolation from Him now so we can begin to praise Him now, because He is the one, Psalm 68 tells us, He is the one that daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. You know, the Lord's not stingy with His blessings. He's not stingy with His comforts and the consolation and assurance He gives us. He loadeth us with benefits. The picture here is of a cart piled so high you think it can't possibly hold another bit of straw or whatever's on it. And that's how God blesses us. He loads us down with blessings every day. And we just don't realize many times the blessings that we have. I mentioned before at our church, sometimes I'm blessed just to have another routine, boring day, because that means nothing bad happened. I didn't get a call about a loved one passing, or I wasn't in an automobile accident, house didn't burn down, I didn't get bad news about a child or illness. You know, some people that would love to have just a boring day, and that'd be a blessing. It certainly would. But He loadeth us with benefits. And He always has, excuse me, and He always will. Because He loves us so much, He was willing to send His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So He's certainly not going to withhold from us blessings now, after the tremendous price His Son paid for our salvation. And in fact, Jesus come, He said, I come to this world that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so God blesses us with tremendous blessings. And this passage here begins with bless God and thanking God. And I think that's something we need to take care of first and get in a proper perspective, because we do need to pray for God for consolation, for comfort. We certainly need it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it tells us, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous is a word very much is like the word danger. And if we ever wondered whether we're in the last days, we don't have to look very far to find out. This is perilous times. It certainly is perilous times. You take a great risk just going out of your house these days. It's sad that we have all the violence and crime and things that we have in our nation. We call ourselves a Christian nation, and there's all sorts of wickedness and things going on all the time. And this is a perilous time. And it's perilous not just because of criminals out there and evil people like that individual that went in that school and shot those people. That's terrible. And worse still is heavily armed police just standing outside waiting for backup while children are slaughtered inside. And I think what we need is some of those guys at the beach in Normandy. That's the kind of bravery we need to put a stop to some of that. But it's perilous time. It's dangerous just to go outside. And then there's other kinds of danger. And I'll get to this a little bit later too, but that's spiritual danger. You turn on any TV, any radio to watch what's loosely referred to as religious programming, and you'll see all sorts of utter nonsense, and so much just outright blasphemy. And so it's perilous times. It's dangerous for we Christians, for we followers of the Lord, that we need comfort. We need the comfort us talking about here in these verses, that God of all comfort will come and give us this. We need that. For we wrestle not, as tells us in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he said, men don't come to the light because their deeds are evil. And they love darkness. And those people, some of those people are in positions of great power. And they would like nothing more than to destroy every one of us and all of our churches and this Bible that we use and replace it with something else. But it's perilous times for us. And we, you know, I think it was Mike, might have been Brother Baltz that mentioned, we're still meeting here openly, freely. That's a tremendous blessing from God, because our brethren in other parts of the world can't do that. We still can, but the rulers of the darkness of this world would love to put an end to that. And if they ever get a chance, they will. But so we need comfort because we're in a spiritual battle. We need comfort because we're in a physical battle. And Jesus made sure that we have comfort. He said in John 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. You see, he gives peace. The world gives tribulation, turmoil, and danger. The Lord gives us peace and life. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. Well, what things was that? We read back in chapter 15, and even in the end of chapter 14, he is talking about that he is going to send another comforter. That after his departure from this world, he's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to abandon us. He's going to send another comforter. And I wonder how some of these people can miss this so completely that they think it's possible that the salvation we have will be gone when we get to the so-called other side. When Jesus said he wouldn't even leave us alone here while we were on the earth, he'll provide for us. So we know he will certainly provide in eternity. But he said, I've spoken these things unto you, you have peace. That's comfort from God. That's consolation from him. And he said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So he didn't say, because I've overcome the world, you won't ever have hard times. He didn't say, because I've overcome the world, you won't face tribulation. He said, no, you'll have peace in me. In the world, you'll have trouble. So we need comfort. We need his comfort. And then in Matthew 5, when Jesus was talking to the multitudes, he was up on the mountain, he said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You know, that's one of the ways we know we're blessed of God, is when the world despises us and stands against us. Because Jesus said, if you were as all the world would love his own. But when the world hates what I stand for, that tells me I'm doing something that's not of the world. That requires that the God of heaven be intervening in my life, because it's certainly nothing that I can do of myself. But he said, men will revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So we need to make sure when people say things, evil things about us, it's false. We need to make sure of that. Tommy said, if we saw him coming out of a bar, it would destroy his testimony. And that'd be true. And, you know, if I didn't see him coming out of a bar, but I said so. That would be false. And we need to make sure that if anybody is relating anything ungodly or worldly about us, that it's false. Because we need to stay in Christ. We need to stay close to Christ and do those things that please Him. But you know, it says in 1 Peter, those people think it's strange that we run not with them to the same excess of wrath. They really think we're crazy. Our love for God, our respect for His Scripture, our enjoyment of divine worship here in the fellowship of this church is to them just foolishness. They don't see how that we get anything out of it, and they see it only as an impediment to fulfilling the lust of their flesh. But we know that we're being comforted of God because of all the peril and things in the world. And then 1 Thessalonians 3:7, it says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. So, Paul said, we were comforted in our affliction. And you know, you think all that Paul went through, he was shipwrecked, he was bitten by a serpent, he was beaten, he was cast in prison, they stoned him. So badly they thought he was dead, and they took him out and threw him in the landfill. Supposing that he was dead, and then he said all of our light afflictions, because he was comparing it in his mind to the glory that would follow. And the mortal afflictions we have is not even comparable to the great glory that God will display in us when He makes us like Him, 1 John 3:3. But Jesus didn't leave us comfortless. He comforted. How many times during the ministry of the Lord Jesus did He look at His followers and say, fear not, or be not afraid, or don't be fearful? You see, He comforted them all times. And he didn't leave that ministry undone when He left. He said in John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Another comforter. That means Jesus was a comforter while He was here, and the Holy Spirit is also a comforter. He said another comforter. And He will abide with us forever. Isn't that consoling? Isn't that comfort from God that He has promised, He who cannot lie, promised that His Comforter would abide with us forever. I don't have to worry about the future. I don't have to depend on my little weak, intermittent faith. I can rely on the faith and the integrity of Almighty God to keep me comforted forever. And this is a tremendous blessing from God, and He said in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. It's not as if our Savior will see us going through those afflictions Brother Boggs talked about and say, well, I don't care. He deserved it. That's not how our Father works. He loves us dearly, and He is pained when He sees us suffer, and He comforts us, and the Holy Spirit comes and comforts us. And He said, I will come to you, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Which, by the way, is yet another verse that teaches that our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, is one with the Holy Spirit, just like He's one with the Father. But in Psalm 145, verse 9, says, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all of His works. You know, I think it's ironic that the world that despises us so is blessed by the God that created us for His glory and gave this world and made this world for His honor and glory and for the enjoyment of His children. And they benefit from the rain that the Savior sends for us and all the good things that God does in this world for His children bless the others as well. And yet they're still unthankful, become vain in imagination of their hearts, and they turn their hatred against not only God but his children. But that doesn't change the fact that God is good and his mercies are over all of his work. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." That's a hard one. I have a nice car, but I want a nicer one. I have a big house, but I want a bigger one. I got this many acres, but I need a few more. And it doesn't matter how much you get. I want more. Bill Gates wants more. He's got so much money. Now he has hired an accounting firm just to keep track of it. But he wants a little bit more. You know, it's never enough. Hell's never satisfied. The lust for worldly things is never tempered by acquisition of more things. People always want more, 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 more. But God said, be content with such things as you have. Why? Because he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So I can be content with what I have, you know, the blessings that he's given me in this life in a temporal sense. I can be content with that. Because this is just for a moment. I directed a funeral yesterday and I brought out that we spend our lives as the tale is told. It's over in just a minute. And so I can be content with the blessings God has given me in this life because there is an eternal destination waiting for me where I'll be blessed with glory and the presence of Almighty God in a way that can't be truly comprehended by mortal man. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, which another verse tells me my salvation, it's not even remotely possible that it will someday be lost because he said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. He did not say, I will never leave thee unless you forsake me. That's not what he said. That's how some people seem to believe it. But he will never leave me or forsake me. He remaineth faithful even if I'm not. And that's because he's a God. Tells me in Psalm 86, he is a God that's full of compassion. Full of compassion. The love of God is something beyond comprehension in this world. The love of God is so deep that he gave his only begotten Son that we could be perfected in him. And he didn't do this because we were dear, close associates. He didn't make this tremendous sacrifice because we were trusted allies. It was not that we were great warriors of the cross lifting up his purpose in this world. We were enemies of the cross. We were enemies of God. Was it Romans 10, 3, verse 7? It says we're enemies of God. The natural man is enemy of God. And that's how we were when his son died for us. And it's a tremendous blessing. That proves he won't forsake us. And therefore, we're secure in him because he's full of compassion and graciousness. And it says he's long-suffering and plenteous in mercy. There is no shortage of God's mercy. There is no shortage. He never runs low. There's never a shortage of that. And even the psalmist, you know, one of the most well-known verses in the passages in the entire Bible, other than John 3:16, is Psalm 23. It's read at funerals and weddings and all sorts of things. But the psalmist was inspired to write in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's the rod and the staff, the power and the protection of Almighty God. This is what gives us comfort, knowing that's there. That rod he uses to beat down and fend off the enemies, the wolves that come to us in sheep's clothing. That's what the rod is for. Defense. to actively engage and take the fight to the enemies, and then the staff is to pull us back into the way when we stray from the truth, and when our feet go off of that narrow path, and we begin to wander over here, and that still small voice says, this is the way, walk in it, but we're too busy and we go the other way, that staff pulls us back. And so the psalmist said, that comforts me, knowing that the love of God will protect us and provide for us. That gives us comfort. And then lastly, you know, I've covered that the blessed God is our only source of comfort, and that the saints need comfort, and that God comforts us. And last of all, we can comfort others because we've been comforted. It says here in that first or second Corinthians, where I was there a second ago, that I better read it so I get it right. Otherwise, it says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted. So if I were to offer you comfort, and I do it from a worldly, carnal resource, then the only thing you have is worldly, carnal, meaningless, nothing, it's shallow, it's insufficient. But if I give you comfort from God's Word, and I share with you the comfort He's given me through His faithfulness, then you have something that's meaningful, something that has some substance to it. And He says, we can comfort people with the same comfort that we've been comforted. That's comfort from God. Galatians 2:16, it says we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to care for one another. We've had repeated requests and repeated prayers for those who are sick today. Brother Daniels, Brother Stoniker, and there's others. But we care for them. We're in Hebrews chapter 13, it says we're to consider that we're in that body ourselves. We're to share and care about their burdens and their problems to such a deep extent as if it was our problem. And that's something that can only be achieved by God giving us grace and giving us comfort so that we can give others comfort. And that should be something that is foremost in our lives as Christians. After worshiping and extolling the Lord Jesus Himself, we should be faithful to the church and fellowship with others and comfort them in this perilous times where we live. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that is the great God, Father of all mercy. That which we have seen and heard we declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So we are bettered by fellowshipping one with another. If we all meet here and we fellowship one with another, and we go back to our respective churches, we go back with renewed vigor for the Lord and renewed enthusiasm to serve Him and study His Word. Yep. And that fellowship builds us up. As iron sharpens iron, we sharpen each other. We build each other up by our fellowship one with another. If, and only if, it's fellowshipping with the Father and His Son. Otherwise, it's meaningless. If I fellowship with somebody about a sports team or some sort of club or organization, that's nothing. But if it's based on the fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, then I have something that will give genuine comfort and not just something that's shallow. Say, well, you know, the Lord bless you, and you send them away. And James said, what good would it do if you say to someone, somewhere to beat out Phil, but you don't give him anything to eat? That's carnal, worldly philosophy. But we have the Son of God, we have the grace of God, and we have the comfort of God, and we can share that with our fellows. And 1 Peter chapter 3 says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that's in you with meekness and fear. We should live our lives in such a way that it's clear even to the casual observer that we're people of hope. And that we have God's favor and comfort in our lives. And that will prompt them to ask us about this. They see something that they would like to have. And we need to be ready. Like Philip, when he joined the chariot, the fellow said, you know, I'm reading this stuff the prophet wrote. And he said, did the prophet write this about himself or some other man? And Philip, the Bible says, Philip began at that place in the scriptures, fellows read, and preached to them Jesus. And that's what we need to do. We need to be ready every opportunity we get to tell someone about the Lord Jesus. We never know if we might be talking to a sheep. And the Savior and Savior. You know, he doesn't convert goats into sheep, but he seeks lost sheep. And he'll bring it. He might use it. We might be blessed by God with the opportunity to present the gospel of his son to one of his chosen ones, and that person will be drawn by the staff to the Savior. That will be good. So how do we do this? Just like Philip did. He began at the same place. In other words, that Ethiopian eunuch was reading the scroll. It said this and this and this. Philip used that. He started right here and preached Jesus to him. And that's what we got to do. Holding forth the word of life. It says in Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Thou hast not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So if we give someone genuine comfort and hope from the scriptures, we haven't labored in vain. It's all for God's glory and all for the edification of his saints. And then I'd like to close with this 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This, I'm glad Bruce picked that song to sing, because he is coming again. There's some, sadly, like I mentioned before, that don't believe that. And they're all pious and proud about it. And they think that somehow proves their superiority or their deep spiritual insight or something. And really, it's just a manifestation of disbelief. Because Jesus said, I'm coming again. And he said, I won't leave you comfortless. Then he said, I will come to you again. And he was already with him when he said that. That implies he's going away and he'll come again. And I believe he will. You know, when he was taken up from them, there in Acts chapter 1, he was taken up while he was speaking to them, and they stand there looking at heaven, and two men said, why are you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner. This same Jesus, not a different one, same Jesus will come again in like manner, and I'm looking forward to it. It's good. I might be startled by the suddenness of it, but I won't be surprised by the occurrence of it. I'm looking forward to it. And in 1 Thessalonians, Bruce was singing about the Lord coming back. 1 Thessalonians 4:15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's a promise of comfort. If there's one anywhere, that's it. For the Lord himself shall descend with heaven from a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to meet the Lord in the air and see his face.
Amen.
And be in his presence. And it tells us over there in Revelation 22, his servants will serve him. I don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing in heaven. I'm not going to be walking around with Grandpa by the river talking about the good old days when we were fishing. We'll be praising God and serving Him. That says, His servants will serve Him and see His face. So that gives us a tremendous amount of comfort when we know, without a doubt, that's what awaits us in the future. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, in that manner, under those conditions, we will ever be with the Lord. What are those conditions? We'll be caught up together with the other saints. We'll be reunited. Our fellowship with them will be reunited eternally. And we will, with them eternally, be in the presence of God, praising and singing glory to Him. And then it says, comfort one another with these words. If you're a true child of God, nothing will give you more comfort than knowing that your Savior, that bought your salvation, has determined He will come again for you and you and receive us unto Himself. What can give us more comfort than that? Brother Bean.